Christ is risen. Amen. Happy Easter. Don't you feel like you're kind of in a time warp? Okay. Feels really weird, doesn't it? Okay. But praise God, right? All things are possible in Christ. I chose Romans today because I think it's appropriate for the situation we're in. And not only that, it is a resurrection text. Okay. So we look at chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Paul writes, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer?" F.F. Bruce writes, "The baptism of Christians constituted the frontier between their old unregenerate existence and their new life in Christ. It marked their death to the old order, so that for a baptized Christian to go on in sin was as preposterous as it would be for an emancipated slave to remain in bondage to his former owner, or for a widow to remain subject to the law of her husband." So Paul is addressing an immoral lifestyle here that many false teachers were promoting. As we study Paul's letters thus far, the Gnostic teachers, the false teachers, believed that the spirit was good and the physical was evil. Therefore, some false teachers taught that since the spirit was important, then it didn't matter what you did with the physical. You could do whatever you want. Eat, drink, or be merry, okay? It led to a licentious, immoral, and pagan lifestyle. Are there false teachers today? Yes, okay. In fact, that is why many liberal churches are blessing same-sex marriages and are pro-choice, okay? And that's the tip of the spear for attacks on Christians and the church. Okay? Abortion and same-sex relationships. Okay? And they want to silence us. All right? Verse 3. "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Okay, go to the next one. Just leave that there for a minute, okay? Spurgeon writes, "Newton has very properly said that the two pillars of our religion are the work of Christ for us and his work in us by the Holy Spirit. If you want to find the apostles, you will surely discover them standing between these two pillars. They are either discoursing about the effect of the passion in our justification or its equally delightful consequence in our death to the world and our newness to life." And this is one of my favorite pictures here, okay? That's James. I think he's sick today, isn't he? He's not here. You can tell him I showed his picture all over, okay? I asked his permission, though, but he's a new man, okay? Yeah. And for those who knew him before, this is not James. This is a new creation. And that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be a new creation, okay? In Christ's birth, death, and resurrection, he restored us into an intimate relationship with God. But God does not stop there. The Holy Spirit continues to work in us and change us more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. In this relationship, we have a new, free life. Paul is telling the Romans not to live in their former pagan practices, but embrace who they are in Jesus Christ. They are new creations with a new life. And he's saying, live that way. Don't live like you're in bondage. Spurgeon describes this new life for us. He says, "Newness of life, what does it mean? It means this. When we are born again and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, which things take place at the same time? We receive a life which we never before possessed. We begin to feel, to think, and act as we never did before. The new life is something foreign to our fallen nature, an exotic, a plant of another climate. The carnal mind knows nothing of spiritual things. The man who is not born again cannot understand what the new birth means. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned, and the carnal man is all foreign in reference to them. In your quickening, you receive the light which has never before shone in your bosom, a life that came not from men, neither by men." Have we received this new life? And isn't it amazing when you do? It changes everything, right? It becomes light and life, okay? And you can truly be free. So, have we received this new life, or are we playing at religion and keeping Jesus at a safe distance? And that's what religion does. It keeps Jesus at a safe distance, okay? Where we don't have to be committed, okay? In the 19th century, William Booth walked the poor streets of England. And there were people living in crowded, rotten houses owned by slumlords. They were rat-infested, and they were pretty much alienated by everybody. But that's who Booth went to. William Booth went to those people. He told his wife, "I have given myself to work for God among these sick souls. And that work, which he began more than 100 years ago, is today known as the Salvation Army." Years later, someone asked him about the secret for his success. And he said, "God has all that there was of me to have. From the day I got the poor of London on my heart and a vision of what Jesus Christ would do for them, I made up my mind that God would have all there was of William Booth. God has had all the adoration of my heart, all the power of my will, and all the influence of my life." You can move off this picture, okay? Yeah, I think that's... No, go back. Just leave that there for now, okay? How about us, though? How about you and me? Can we say we've given everything to God, to Jesus Christ, and He controls our lives? Sometimes, yeah. Other times, no, right? During the past few months, COVID-19 has rocked our world, as has the riots and the looting and all the other stuff and the curfew. And there's been tremendous fear. Tremendous fear. And it's spurred on by the media and in some cases even the government. But for many of us, we had a chance to reflect on our spiritual life. Our isolation turned us to eternal things and to Jesus. And now that COVID-19 is subsiding and the violence and the riots are subsiding, what do we do? Do we return to focusing on this world and all it has to offer? Or do we seek the new life Jesus offers, eternal life? Are we ready for a change? You know, and I'm reflecting on this whole isolation thing. I wasn't real thrilled with it, okay? Because when the church is closed, that's pretty much the pastor's life, okay? But in hindsight, man, it made you think, didn't it? Really made you think about what's important. Verse 5, "For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we will certainly also be united with Him in a resurrection like His." Do Christians need to fear death? But we don't invite it, right? But we don't fear it. Where does fear come from? The devil, from Satan, right? Now, friends, we know that when we die, we shall experience a resurrection into new life. That's what this text is about. In Christ, we have victory over death. During the quarantine, somebody asked me if I was afraid of the virus. And I said, no. I'm afraid of God. That's what the Scripture tells us to be, right? Now, I did take precautions and did the social distancing. Begrudgingly, but I did it, okay? But I didn't live in fear. I refused to live in fear. Unfortunately, many people were literally paralyzed by fear. And we all know people like that, right? Completely paralyzed by fear. And I think some of them are going to need counseling to get out of it. Brothers and sisters, even during a pandemic, we can live in newness of life without fear. The history of the church is that when there were plagues, etc., the church would go out to the sick people. Even during the time of the Black Plague, the churches stayed open and they would go out to the sick people. And Martin Luther told the pastors to keep their churches open because people needed to know how to die. Do people know how to die nowadays? No, they don't. This is new life, though, to do stuff like that, right? This is new life. This is contrary to the world. And this is Christian freedom. And the world does not understand it. Don't ever think the world's going to understand us, okay? I don't think we really understand what we have in Christ Jesus. One thing, which was a very good day, with the first day when we got back on Wednesday, I think many of you remember, it was so good to be back together, right? And we asked what everybody missed, and it was the people. And like Donna said on an email, the people realize we are the church. It's not this building, it's us. Okay, we are the church. But then the other thing is, during Bible study, I said, how would you feel if you got COVID now? Say you got it from the Bible study or whatever. And by and large, everybody said, if it's God's will, it's God's will. If I live, I live. If I die, then I'll be with Jesus. No. They're ready to die. And as a pastor, it made me feel, because part of our job is to make sure people are ready to die. And you guys are all weird. You're all ready to die. Okay. So praise Jesus. Amen. Christ is risen, right? Spurgeon writes, "Oh my hearer, if you are not in Christ, you have nothing. Out of Christ you are in the wilderness. With Him you are in paradise. In Christ believers possess all the treasures and wisdom and knowledge and grace and power and love. All things are yours if you are Christ." Is this how we live our lives, knowing all things are ours? Hopefully, yes. In August of 2005, Thelma and Victor Hayes, they won the lottery in Canada. They won $7 million, okay? They'd been married, for 63 years, and they were both 89 years old. And the news wanted to know what kind of changes it was going to make, and they said, we're going to just keep living in the care center where we live. We're not going to do anything extravagant. You know, we're not big spenders. Victor said, well, I am going to get a Lincoln Town Car, though, okay? But Thelma, she said, I'm getting a new pair of nylons. To win $7 million and get a new pair of nylons, okay? Philip Green writes, we laugh because that seems so ridiculous. How could someone win a fortune and change nothing but her nylons? That is no more ridiculous than the Christian who chooses to live in sin. We have so much because of our relationship with Christ. We are dead to sin and alive to everything that God wants to do for and through us. Why then do we content ourselves with mediocre living? Why do we content ourselves with a pair of nylons, so to speak? Why do we content ourselves with continuing to live in defeat, with bearing so little fruit, or with achieving so little of anything that will last for eternity? Brothers and sisters, on the cross, Jesus Christ defeated sin, death, and the devil, right? He also defeated COVID. He defeated riots. He defeated murder and violence. He defeated hate. And He gives us newness of life. We're not to be in slavery to any of those things. And it's time to get out of quarantine. We're Christians, right? Christ is risen. And so have we, right? Amen? Verse 6, for we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Go to the next one. There you go. Leave it there for now, okay? God loves you so much, He doesn't want to leave you where you're at. Amen? So don't let sin control the way we live. In this new life, though, in Christ, the old sins fall off and a new life is put on. Does it happen overnight? No. We are all works in progress. As we grow in faith, more of the practices of the old life fall off. It is similar to a reptile shedding its skin. The only difference is we do not remain the same old reptile. When the skin falls off, we are completely new creatures, okay? And to continue on what we started on Good Friday this week, Your sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. You are a new creation. What's gone before is gone. Amen? Now, I know you guys like the Chronicles of Narnia, right? And C.S. Lewis? Well, in the book, The Dawn Treader, I got the picture here, okay? This is Eustace, and Eustace was a very self-absorbed boy, a spoiled boy. And he ended up taking a bracelet from a dragon, so he was changed into a dragon, okay? And he actually did something heroic later in the book, and he crashed on a beach, and he was recovering. But while he was there, Aslan, the lion, who is Jesus Christ, okay, came and tore off the skin of the dragon, so that only Eustace was left, okay? And it was painful for that to happen, but Christ took off the old skin and he was restored back to himself, okay? Isn't that what Christ does with us? Right? And at times it's painful, right? Because we get attached to that old life, right? But we're free now. And Eustace was free. Spurgeon writes, "Trembling penitent, let a living Savior cheer you. Exercise faith in Him." Go to the next one, please. Okay? That's fine. Leave that. Okay? "Exercise faith in Him. Only He who has immortality. He lives to hear your prayers. Cry to Him. He lives to present that prayer before His Father's face. Put yourself in His hands. He lives to gather together with those whom He bought with His blood, to make those the people of His flock who were once the people of His purchase. Sinner, do you believe this as a matter of fact? If so, rest your soul on it and make it shine as a matter of confidence, and then you are saved." And that's that blessed assurance we talk about, right? And that's what the people were saying on Wednesday. They had a blessed assurance. And that's our job, pastors, to make sure people have a blessed assurance, okay? And yes, it is a beautiful baby, okay? Verse 8, "Now if we died with Christ, we believe we will also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." Utley says, "Believers died with Christ. Believers live for God through Christ. The goal of the gospel is not forgiveness only, but service to God. Believers are saved to serve. The parallel between Christ and Christians comes up again. As Christ died and was buried and rose from the dead and now lives to die no more, so is it with us who believe in Him and are in Him by a vital union. In Him we died, and in Him we rose, and in Him now we live in newness of life." Amen? Christ is risen. Jesus puts a desire in us for Him and for the new life. We want more of the new life, okay? We don't think about returning to the old life. We don't want to go back to that darkness. And I know many of us have been in real dark places. We don't want to go back, all right? Proverbs 26, and Peter quotes this in his letters also. "As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats their folly." And unfortunately, does this still happen? One of the saddest things, I've been going to jails for 20 years, but one of the saddest cases I've had was recently with the House of Grace. We had a young, attractive woman who got there. She was there one day, and the next day she went to get her IDs. And on her way home, she passed by a park she was used to. She saw old friends and started using. That night, she left the house. She had one night, and it's really a nice house, okay? And she chose to live in a park doing drugs. It breaks your heart, right? There's more to life. Verse 8. Verse 12. "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. Eudley says, the real question is, who is reigning in your life? Who is reigning in our life? Boy, tell me I didn't think about that when I was writing this, okay? Do we let Him reign every day, all the time? The believer has the power in Christ to choose. The tragedy for the individual, the local church, and the kingdom of God is when believers choose self and sin, even while claiming grace. So who is reigning in our lives? Are we living the new life Jesus purchased for us with His blood? It's the only way to live. A woman in Massachusetts had a 2-year-old daughter named Catherine, and the mother said, "Where are my slippers?" And the daughter said, "They're downstairs in the kitchen." The mother said, "Well, what are they doing there?" And the daughter said, "Nothing. They can't walk because they don't have feet in them right now." That's the way it is for us too, right? We cannot walk where God wants us to walk. We cannot live the way God wants us to live. We cannot do anything unless God is doing it through us. We're just a pair of slippers sitting on the kitchen floor, right? We're useless. But if God enters our lives, then those slippers start dancing, right? Then they start dancing. So walk in newness of life. Okay? Nice shoes, huh? Okay. Verse 14, "For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace." Sin is not master over believers because it is not master over Christ. That's Eudley. Amen? I'm going to close with a story from Spurgeon, but I love this picture, don't you? That's going to be our kids out there. You guys can't go in until after the Easter egg hunt, though, okay? But it kind of reminds me of Richie, kind of, okay? Here's a story from Spurgeon, though. He says, "Let me finish with a picture which will show you what I mean by wholeheartedness. I've seen boys bathing in a river in the morning. One of them has just dipped his toes in the water, and he cries out as he shivers, 'Oh, it's so cold!' Another has gone up to his ankles, and he also declares that it is fearfully chilly. But see, another runs to the bank, takes a header. He rises all in a glow. All his body is circulating, and he cries, 'Delicious! What a beautiful morning. I am all in a glow. The water is splendid.' That is the boy for enjoying a bath. You Christian people who are paddling about in the shallows of religion and just dipping your toes into it, you stand shivering in the cold air of the world which you are afraid to leave. Oh, that you would plunge into the river of life. How it would brace you. What tone it would give you, and that you plunge into the river of life. What tone it would give you in for it, young person. In for it. Be a Christian out and out. Serve the Lord with all your being. Give yourself wholly to Him who bought you with His blood. Plunge into the sacred flood by grace, and you will exclaim, 'Oh, this is life. Oh, this is joy. My God, to find you so. Your face to see, your voice to hear, and all your love to know.' May we thus walk in newness of life." Amen. Christ is risen. And He wants us to rise too. Amen.